Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, trees and non-binaries, and welcome to another exciting episode of Fantastic Players Podcast, the show here on the Fantastic University Podcast Network, where I, Adam Ray, the Izzet Tinkerer, and a very special guest talk about everything in the world of gaming, PC, console, tabletop, and everything in between. If you're listening to us through our Patreon support, I want to say another big thank you. As you well know, patrons get access to all of our written work well in advance, as well as extended, uninterrupted episodes of every podcast we produce. With the grand return of the shaky health of our editor-in-chief, my father, Steve, now looking up, we can expect his show, Detective Comments, coming very soon, the deep dive into all things about Batman, as well as possibly some new shows here on the network going into the new year, so do turn your ears to that. But as for the main show here, normally I'm flanked by my brother in card game arms, Connor McEnderwall, but his PC exploded, so I have reached out across the multiverse to find myself back at the shores of the First Gates with a very dear friend, the founder and forger of Biscuit Tin RPG. Some know him as Jeff, I know him as John, I know him as a man who rolls dice very well on the internet. How are you, my good pal?
Adam, it is fantastic to be here, and welcome to the shores of First Gate. Well, the bits and pieces that you can see right now, as you can see, the lintel in the distance is still very much in view.
Yeah, the lintel is where all the stuff goes going on. That's where all the big important pieces and buildings and infrastructure is. It can take you minutes or millennia to get there, depending on which direction and which angle you're walking through time and space. So when we last had you on the show about a year ago, my good pal, the First Gate was rumblings. It was a twinkle in our collective eye, something you approached me about back during the pandemic. Our own Dungeons & Dragons supplement for 5th edition, but now it is here, it is real, it is resplendent.
Yes, yes. Oh man, I cannot say how happy I am to see this thing in the, the third dimension? That's the dimension I can see anyway. So,
oh, yeah.
It's beautiful. It's literally one of my absolute favorite creations. I mean, I already had the other small little book out, the Compendium of the Absurd, but First Gate, oh, the absolute joy, chaos, and madness that I poured into this thing, and that you also definitely poured, I think you basically multiplied the madness that we have stored in here. It's fantastic.
It really is. I think that's how we sort of approached writing this project. You set me loose to try and like make a grand ambitious setting and a place for new subclasses for all 12 main classes for Dungeons & Dragons 5e. And then I sort of aimed it and then spat out the nexus point between all worlds. So now that it's out, it's available for you to purchase right now, dear listeners, on DriveThruRPG in both PDF form, soft cover, and hardcover. It's a shame you can't see because right now my good pal is brandishing the hardcover edition. It is delicious. That piece of artwork is actually the background on my watch, on my digital watch, so I know that I am always looking at home whenever I want the hours to go by quicker on my day job. Because, yeah, we both poured our heart and souls into making this real, and here it is. Published writers, who'd have thought it?
Yeah. Well, 2.5 years ago, almost 3 at this point, when we first started this, I think we originally only intended to create kind of a Tasha's Cauldron, but a little bit more chaotic. And then, as we said the last time we talked, I had this little nugget of an idea that we were just going to throw into lore, and it was just talking about this city full of gates. And you just looked at me proverbially. Virtually, however you decided to stare at your monitor that day, and said, I think I can turn this into something bigger. And I was like, okay, go for it. You absolutely destroyed it. It's so beautiful. The entire first chapter of this book is literally the beginnings of a sandbox world that fits anywhere and everywhere, and itself is system agnostic, but it's a fun little jaunt through time and space and outside, I suppose.
Yeah, that's so the frame of reference, most Dungeons & Dragons players are pretty much aware of Sigil, the City of Doors, because that leads to every plane within a singular cosmology. You've got the material Feywild and Shadowfell, and then all of the higher and lower planes where the gods and the demons and the devils and all of those guys live. The First Gate is that is that setting, but for the entire multiverse. Every parallel universe that you hear about in Everything Everywhere All at Once or the god-awful Marvel movies, you can find all of those worlds stacked up against each other, the void being the space in between containing absolutely nothing. But at a center, if you can measure distance in a realm like that, is this first gate. And every realm otherwise is accessible, and everything and everyone that has ever lived might find themselves there, which means that the potential for adventure is endless. So yeah, you sort of said, hey, it's like, we can make some lore into this. And I was like, yes, I can do this. I think I sneezed and like 5 weeks later, the entire first chapter was basically done, if I remember rightly.
Yes. We had, thank goodness that it worked out. Cause I mean, the book would have been, the book is still chunky in comparison, but it wouldn't have the same pizzazz or the same selling point as it does now, with basically creating a brand new world for all the other creations that we've put into this book to find a home or refuge, or potentially refugees from their own planes, which I'm not going to spoil that one, but the future looks bleak for some planes out there. So good luck, everybody.
that is unfortunate. I think we'll get to that in a non-spoilery way. But let's break down the monster that we created, because it has two titles. It's the first gate, which is of course the setting that we sort of share and rather we'd lived in than the actual real world. But it's also called the Menagerie of Madness. Now, I want to say that, like, I had a lot of input in trying to, like, put the creative spin on some of these creatures, but a lot of the weird mm-hmm. stuff, like the magic items, the monsters, and some of the fine-tuning on the classes, I believe you handled very well. So what strange creatures go bump in the night in the Menagerie of Madness?
Oh my goodness, strange creatures. If we're just going to go for creatures, I might as well just flip over to that chapter. We've got some fun stuff in here. Nope, I just skipped right past it, went right to the side quests. Where am I? What am I doing? Oh, see, that's the fun bit about this is I did not put these things in the order that you would think they would be. First and foremost, we did make a joke about the entire thing started with the silliness of me creating a made-up patron that was basically chaos mixed with Chef Gordon Ramsay, but slightly less mean, but slightly more chaotic. So we do actually have a patron that has a physical form in this book that is tantamount to a deity in some respects, as well as just a normal patron in others, and his thralls. So when we created this, obviously, we took on some personas because we didn't really want to be ourselves in the book, because I find that myself personally kind of garish. But I created this kind of a overweight, rotund, balding chef that I named Jeff, Patron of Biscuits. And we have a stat block for him. I say him, but he's actually an aberration, which I will not go into. And then we created his little lackeys that don't do much except try to avoid him, because if they have to see him, he can tell them what to do and there's nothing they can do about it. Jeff's thralls, that is. Not only do we have the patrons. Yes, it plays off of one of the quirks that we created.
Yes.
For backgrounds in the book. We also have the Adrian Fivequills, which is your persona within the book, counterbalance to the chaos that is Jeff.
Yeah, I wanted to make him so that, like, there was some semblance of order there, because that also sort of really summed up a lot of the process that we had when we were writing this. We sort of went into it being like, yeah, you like, yes, full energy, all systems go. I'm going to be on top of everything. And I was like, all right, cool. I will slowly digest all of the weird things you just said, funnel them into a story. Here you go. It's just us all over. I look at those two characters and I just see us and just how we talk. That's why for future things, they're going to be very vocal. Let's go with that.
Yes. Which we did let them be very vocal in this book. Hidden throughout the background of the entire book is just conversations between two or more characters, depending on how we were feeling that day, and how they tend to get along, but barely.
Tenuous.
Very chaotic versus like. Yes, absolutely. And then we've got a couple more in here. Obviously, I put an NPC in here that fits right in line with Jeff. And that is Biscuit, Jeff's very first warlock, who is a chaotic little kobold, whose entire journey has spanned every single game I have run. It doesn't matter if it was me running Black Ballad, an RPG in a castle, or me running First Gate at the latest convention that I went to. Biscuit shows up and is a little chaos monkey, and I will never, ever leave him out of any game.
I need to figure out some way to include, because for the majority of our games, of my games, as you'll hear very soon, I think I'll take the end of this podcast to announce something. Yes, they'll be hearing it an exclusive, dear listeners. But my homebrew setting of choice has been, I have poured nearly, God, is it 9 years at this point? Wow, I'm old. Yes, about 9 years of my life into developing that setting. And it's very high fantasy, but flavor accepting. So there's been crossovers with other people's settings in the First Gate and all of this goodness. So I'm sure Biscuit will be stirring the pot somewhere in my own setting very, very soon. I think we can make that happen, can't we, buddy?
Absolutely. I love the idea. And just to go ahead and throw one more thing in there, this was actually one of my favorites that we did, because I did reach out to what this was inspired by for the most part, and they gave me a resounding no.
Oh, that's a shame.
But we created... We created the writing chickens.
Yes.
And if there's one thing that you all need to know is that, yes, we know this looks familiar, like a familiar beast from some other world, but it's our take on said creature and not the actual one, because we don't want to get sued. We'll fight primordial beings that live between dimensions any day, but corporate lawyers actually scare us. We wrote that in the book because we wanted to make it very clear that it was inspired and is not the same thing.
Yep, we want to fulfill our fantasies. We don't want to put any finality on it. Let's go with that.
Yep, there we go. but yes, there's a ton of ones in here, and for the real silly puzzle solvers in all of us, there is an absolute horrible pun hidden within this book as well that I will never explain. No. Outside of the Discord where it was originally revealed.
It will be revealed once the pinned message. That's it. Yeah. Oh, yes. I think we can talk about some of the creatures that I created and then rescued from that developer that burst into flames.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Let's go ahead and throw out that one then. One of the biggest ones, we'll start with the creature that you can't play as, and then we'll hop right over into player species then.
Yes.
The Titanium Dragon was saved from a trash fire, and we got the rights back to it. More specifically, we got the rights for you back to it, which is fantastic. The Titanium Dragon is a new dragon that has every development phase attached to it, from a wyrmling all the way up to an ancient version. We have the stat blocks in here. It's a lawful good guy that just wants to study the world and be awesome and just create stuff out of nothing because it's fun. It's also used in a side quest. So good luck figuring out how not to make that thing a problem.
It was always one of my favorites back in fourth edition as well. Because I remember that system with actual fondness, as I may be one of the only ones who do.
Mm-hmm. But not only that, it's got the lore behind it, how their layers look, how it affects the landscape, all of that stuff. It's really, really cool, and we went really in depth with how it works, because we didn't just want to create a monster here. We wanted you to really take it in and understand it. Now, one of the other ones that I'm really excited about that we managed to get back is actually one of the player species that you can use. Besides having your standard elves and half-orcs and all that jazz, we got a hold of something. You can correct me if I'm wrong on this because I mispronounce everything, but I believe it's the Kurkobita.
Yep, that's correct. That's perfectly good. And honestly, in my head, at least when I DM as well, for high fantasy, you can throw out multi-syllabic weird mess piles of vowels and consonants. As long as you get the general sound right, you can spell it and pronounce it however you want. Like, whenever my players like ask me how to spell things, I'm like, okay, cool, I'll spell it out for you for how I've written it. But if you want to like put your own spin on it, I do not mind as long as you remember to say it back. The only time I think there was ever an example was when some players went to the Elemental Plane of Fire and they wanted to talk to a particularly powerful Ifrit called Walut Skirp, but they just kept calling him Waluigi.
That's horrifying. I'm guessing they didn't get what they wanted.
No. He tried to sell them into slavery with the Sultan, who the Sultan in my version of the Elemental Fire is an ancient red dragon.
Oh, yeah. Fun. And horrifying.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But yeah, the Kukubita have a long storied history in my own setting of being strange plant people that go between dimensions. So this is a natural place for them. And I'm glad that they found a solid home here.
Yeah, these are your babies. Oh, yeah. Tell us all about them.
So for any of you dear listeners who know me well enough, you know that I did my best to try and be an online dungeon master for a nerd collective called No Ordinary Heroes, and I love those friends dearly. While they were on a very serious grimdark quest, they took some time for a night's watch and then all of a sudden saw a little village out on the road, which had not been there like an hour ago. A whole village popped up overnight. As they go into this township, they see a pumpkin emerge out of the grass, twist itself up into vines, twist itself into a fine dinner suit, kind of Colonel Sanders, but color swapped. And he talked with a very debonair accent, even though he was a live vine and plant body with a talking jack-o'-lantern head. Those are the Kukubita. They are unintentionally sinister, but still very well-meaning and very dapper and very resilient plant people that have ties to all over the place, the sleepiest and hollowest, but they've been a part of my games for a very long time, and they are the real Pumpkin King. Sorry, Jack. I love the Kukubita, and I'm glad that you guys get to finally play as them, twisting up your strange little pumpkin patches and finding your way back home to the meandering township.
Fantastic. Now, the fun thing about this is I was telling a friend about the Kukubita, and they had another friend that they told about it, and they were like, hey, ask them if they'd mind. I'm going to go ahead and give a quick shout out here to Birdman Art, who just donated one of the most gorgeous pictures I've ever seen of just free art, and actually illustrated the Kukubita for us, and all they asked for was credit, and I was like, done. Absolutely. They also got a signed copy of the book from me.
Amazing. If I ever have the pleasure of meeting them in person, I'll sign the book for them as well, because when you showed me the art, I just sort of did the Leo DiCaprio because it's so perfect. They get the striking nature of like an anatomically correct pumpkin, but still something so sinister and so magey about it, like the purple glow, the flowing green robes, it being like a sort of like a sinister druid or like nature cleric. I had to scroll up through my messages to see it again because it is so perfect. That's the thing that will always get me as a writer. Whenever I see something that I created made so real and so unexpected, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. But
yes, absolutely.
We've talked a lot about the wonderful work that we have done so far. So with the spoilery non-spoilers sort of out on the fringes, what does the future look like? I think we
say some stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Totally. If you want to know more about the book, I'm going to go ahead and throw this out now. I did some little short TikToks about it, about what's available in there. So if you want to know more about the meat and potatoes of it, absolutely feel free to go look at Biscuit10RPG on TikTok or Instagram. I'm that name everywhere. Yeah. So, but in terms of the future, we really kind of made the world of Firstgate in this book very bare bones, outside of the side quests that we made that kind of adds in some extra flavor for your storyteller to kind of make this world really their own. Let's say you need to find a shop that sells specific wares. Well, guess what? We're not saying you can't add it in. In fact, we're encouraging it. We wanted to make this whole thing like that. Now, that being said, after playing this game and running it a few times, I realized that there was some things that we hadn't thought of at the time. and those are now being included in future releases, or people that have already purchased it. There's a digital file that's being added to all the stuff. And I think I need to make sure I update one more thing. Anyway, let's not get sidetracked. We are going to actually, and I was thinking about it, we may change the name, but right now there's a future book that's going to go into not just a little bit more of what the First Gate has in store for you, different things that are available there, spelling out how certain aspects work for your characters. But also we're going to take a deep dive into what happens should you break the law and get thrown into the nebulous void black hole of sorts that illuminates the center of the gate. And why it exists and what happens, as well as adding a little bit of flavor into all of the stuff that goes there. It's been teased in this book, but we didn't connect the dots on purpose. We wanted to leave a little bit of mystery there to give you the idea of like, oh, I could do this, but I don't have to. I have spoiled it a little bit for some of the people that played in the game because they saw something that blew their mind. I'm not going to tell you all here. You're going to have to wait till the future releases. But we are planning on doing at least one more book that talks about First Gate, what we're referring to tentatively as the Shroud, which is what's inside the other end of that gate. We're obviously going to have some more class mechanics, more spells, all sorts of stuff in that as well. I've already gotten started on it on my Ko-Fi, but it's going to be labor intensive. Don't look for it anytime soon, but there will be pieces that will be disseminated out through the various channels going forward. And then once we're ready and we have enough content to really throw into one book, that's where we're going to throw it. We're going to do the second book and really nail down a few extras that people may be clamoring to get a hold of.
It's totally true. I think the first book was such a labor of love that we just felt so proud when everything was put together. I think for the second book, we want to try and put a little bit more pride, put a little bit more polish onto it so that when we get a right collection of everything that we're fully proud of, then and only then will it be collected into one huge tome for you to bother your players with. Because a spoilery non-spoiler, I will leave the mystery of the Shroud with. A lot of people know in like mainline cosmology of D&D is that the Feywild and the Shadowfell are sort of sinister dark reflections of the material world. The Shroud is a sinister reflection of every world that could ever exist.
Oh, that was really close. I hope no one gets it from that.
What? Nah. Who'd have thought it?
First, there was the DC Comics News podcast. Then came the Spinner Rack. And now, the third show brought to you by the guys that brought you all that other stuff I just mentioned. I Am the Night. A story about the stories. A show celebrating Batman, the animated series. Week by week, episode by episode. Just when you thought it was safe to put on a pair of headphones, I Am the Night.
Why, hello there. I'm Seth Singleton, and I'm here to tell you about Madpup, a Harley Quinn cast. 3, 2, 1.
Harley Quinn? Harley fucking Quinn? What have we learned from this crazy show?
Making bat shark repellent relevant since 1966.
Oh, look, Booger.
And we've gone completely off the rails.
I hear the bat signal.
Shut up and bat him, nuts.
I definitely do not fuck bat.
In need of an adult-sized nemesis.
Humans make good fertilizer.
You can't fuck with Lois Lane.
For fuck's sake.
I'm a damn good cop.
Lot of lasers.
Educational and informative. The DC Comics News Podcast Network presents Mad Love, the Harley Quinn cast. Back to you, Seth.
So, tell us your thoughts. We'd love to hear from everyone out there. Or not. That's really up to all of you. Fuckers.
Picture this, someone who knows nothing about comics.
Someone who knows comics from movies, TV, and video games.
The complete ultra comics nerd.
You pick the character you want us to talk about.
You send us the questions you want answered.
You make the show.
A podcast by fans.
For fans.
Making new fans.
Superheroes.
Or
dummies.
Part of the Comics in Motion podcast network.
In a world of stereotypes, being called a geek comes with a certain image.
There is still that ingrained thing within me that is a little bit embarrassed about it.
In reality, geek culture has never been more mainstream, and behind every geek is a real story.
My dad was the one who got me into Star Wars and things.
Join me, your super dummy Paul, as I continue my learning experience and talk to the real people.
I'm a secondary school teacher, so I teach 11 to 16 year olds in English.
Hear their stories exclusively on Fantastic Universes.
He's one of them, like, you've ever going to grow up? And I'm like, no, why should I like my life. I enjoy what I do. This is my hobby.
Available on all your favorite podcast catchers.
Hi, my name's Steve, and I'm here to tell you all about the DC Comics News Podcast. Every week, my friends and I sit down and discuss everything DC. Movies, TV and streaming, comic books, and everything in between. But don't just take my word for it. Here are a couple of our sponsors.
Listen to the DC Comics News Podcast. It's audio justice.
No. It's audio chaos. These wackos are crazier than I am.
Well, maybe you're both right. Whatever the case, you can find the DC Comics News Podcast on every podcast platform.
Apple Podcasts.
Google Play.
Spotify.
Stitcher.
And everywhere else you find podcasts. So, can I go now?
Let him go. He did everything you asked.
Hello, listeners. This is Tony Farina from DC Comics News and an occasional guest on Comics in Motion. I'm pleased to announce a new show called Indie Comics Spotlight. Each week, my guests and I will be taking a deep dive into a current title or a classic graphic novel from a publisher other than the big two. Consider this show the best of the rest. My hope is that we'll bring new readers to independent comics and give old readers a chance to share their thoughts. Join me each week in the Comics in Motion feed in your favorite podcast catcher.
But we are both very avid creators, myself in the wider world of gaming, and of course, but your laser focus within the world of TTRPG goodness knows no bounds. So why don't you talk to us about all of the other things you got going on, particularly with the lovely people over at Storytellers Forge?
Oh my God. You ever just wake up and go, I think I have a lot of irons in the fire, and I have just the right amount of irons in the fire. So not only do I get to create things under the banner of Biscuit Tin RPG, which is kind of like where all the chaos in my mind goes, but I've also been given the distinct honor and pleasure of working with the great writers of Storytellers Forge. Now, the two main fellows that I interact with almost on a daily basis is Rick Hines and Patrick Edwards. And I believe them and Courtney I believe we're all lovingly referring to her. I don't know which name she prefers, and I'm sorry for that, Court, if you hear this. But they created Storytellers Forge, which was basically ripping away the trash fire from the previous endeavor that they were working with. They are the same writers behind The Red Opera. They recently did a backer kit and fully funded what is now The Black Ballad, which is a lovely story of what happens after you committed a TPK. What next? It's a whole 10 chapter campaign. It's beautiful. They invited me and allowed me to add my little touch of chaos to that game. I helped create items for it. I got input on one of the species that you can play called the Soul Stitched, and it is as absolutely devastatingly insidious as it sounds. Creating a faction within the Sunless Crossing. And I continue to work with them. I get to rep for them. It's been fantastic. They're wonderful people, and they've always taken it from the real people that actually make the thing happen. The ones that make the thing are the hard workers, the layout artists, the writers, everything behind the curtain that you don't see. You know, they're frankly too busy most of the time to be the face. But they do their absolute best. So they're really working on making a quality product, and I'm just happy to be a part of that. It's been an amazing ride, and I cannot wait to get my digital copy so I can start running it. My physical copy so I can stare at it in awe for probably at least a good solid 10 minutes before I remember that I'm still alive and should probably be breathing.
Well, when you put your hands to such amazing content, you really have to just take a minute, just breathe it in. That's how I feel about being involved with yourself in the first gate. And it looks like there's a lot of stuff going on as well. I'm fortunate that I'm still in the conversation with Rick Hines, amazing creator. And to quote you, I think I maybe have too many irons in the fire, but I don't ever want to stop. So I think this is my effort to try and like maintain that connection, keep that fire going, and hope for the best to see how far the Black Battle extends and whatever next wondrous thing Storytellers Forge wants to involve themselves with. But are there any other grand rising ingots of flour in the biscuit tin's grand oven of creative content?
Well, in terms of what's available currently, we don't have any major releases scheduled anytime soon. Most of the stuff I'm doing now is little challenges. Give me a word or a phrase, just some non sequitur, and I'll make a cursed item out of it. You can go to the TikTok for that, and Instagram and Facebook, I think, if it pops up there randomly. Right now, not only is the First Gate and the Compendium of the Absurd in a bundle, it's a physical and digital bundle that you can get all of them for 20% off on DriveThruRPG. I'm having that go from, I believe I started it the 20th of last month, and it will be ending on the 19th of December. So if you want to get everything all at once, that's going to be your best go-to. Gonna be the best deal after that. All the bundles that I have are gonna be taken down as I start refinishing and putting out some new content. Besides the curses that we've done, there's just a ton of stuff. We've got I'm gonna be going to some conventions. I'm on the waiting list for a couple of them. I'm really hopeful that they'll let me in. As a new person, it's very difficult to get into some of the conventions, but so far so good. My first convention was awesome. I can't wait to do another one so I can be there signing books, telling people about the First Gate and everything else that we have to offer, and getting people really charged up. Other than that, I've got something in the works where I'll be doing a stream of Tales from the Gate, which is going to be fantastic. It's going to be set in First Gate. It's going to start randomly, and it's going to use the side quest, Adam, that you created with some minor tweaks to it to give it a little bit of extra oomph. That will be a little short, maybe 5 to 6 shot on Twitch. And then obviously my other streaming schedule, which is Saturdays until the end of either the party or our actual adventure, but I'm going to vote for the end of the party because we do not know how to make good decisions.
You know how to make interesting decisions and make for a great story. Let's go with that.
Yes.
So many exciting, wondrous things, yeah. Indeed.
Oh, yeah. Before I forget, I guess I better throw this out here. If you're just looking for digital content, best option going through my Ko-fi, Biscuit Tin RPG. That actually gives a little bit more support directly to us. Without the large surcharge that comes from DriveThruRPG. So if you're just looking for that, whether it be the digital content Or the storyteller's version of First Gate, which is fantastic. Has everything broken out so you don't have to give away all the secrets to your players. Go there to grab that. You can also sign up for memberships and get access to a lot of the new stuff that we're building for First Gate. Behind the scenes, it is free to members of certain levels, depending on what you're looking at. So definitely jump in, check it out.
We have a lot of stuff on the horizon. It's so exciting. And you can find out all the news about it shared out heavily on my own channels, Fantastic Universes, and of course, this fabulous show. So I think that succinctly wraps up our little tour of all of the things that's knocking around inside the biscuit tin. Do you have any other final things with which you wish to plug, my good pal?
Oh, goodness. Frankly, just follow me on whichever platform you use. For the most part, most of my stuff starts on TikTok and gets filtered out to the other ones. So if you have that, do that. If you're more of an Instagram person, follow me on there. That's going to be where I put most of the content anyway. But those are the two that I use the most. So at Biscuit10RPG on both of those platforms, you'll also be able to find the link to all the other places. And follow me on Twitch, Biscuit10RPG, so you can see the chaos that ensues from every single game that we run and play.
Most of those games be fabulously set in our own First Gate. You can find all of those handy dandy links in the show notes right down below, whichever podcast listener you are sampling our delicious voices from. As for myself, you can follow me on the artist formerly known as Twitter, at IsItTinkerer. You can find me on twitch.tv/IsItTinkerer, streaming card game goodness, including comic flavored things, but also high fantasy classics like Magic the Gathering and Legends of Runeterra. You can find my fiction for the Host WCG on Host WCG. All of my links are on my link tree, which will also be included down below. And look very soon to, I'm not sure which service is going to be put on, but my new Let's Play with an all-femme cast in my own homebrew setting, The Good Realm of Perdition, will be coming through soon through whichever place you get your podcasts. More details about it coming through to you in the new year. But I want to thank my good pal John for just jumping back on, talking First Gate goodness, Biscuit RPG goodness. And to you, dear listeners here on Fantastic Plays, thank you for listening. And until next time, live free and play well.